This is Julie Hoag of the Vegetarians and Meat Lovers Split Table Recipes Podcast. Welcome to my podcast where I talk about all things cooking, cooking for a split table that has vegetarians and meat eaters at it, just like my own family. And I have interviews of people who are somehow related to food, being a vegan, vegetarian, cookbook authors, people who create food content, food bloggers, authors, all that kind of fun stuff, dietitians. If you haven't listened to all of my interviews, go check them out. They're super fun, and I have more planned coming, so that is on the horizon. Today, I'm going to share recipes with you. One is from my cookbook, One Dish, Two Diets, which is a cookbook I created basically kind of based on my life. I became a vegetarian fully around the eighth grade, and I have cooked for my family ever since then. My mother passed away when I was a teenager, so I became the cook, but I was a vegetarian, and my dad and my sister ate meat. So I have been cooking in a hybrid way for many, many years, since my teens, and now I'm in my 40s. So I've had quite a bit of experience doing it, and I do some unconventional things, but my goal is always to not be a short order cook, as little as possible, because I don't have the time to do that. I don't have the desire to do that. I want to make something that works for all of our diets if I possibly can. So this is from a recipe that I got online, but I adapted to my own. And the other one is from One Dish, Two Diets, recipes for the hybrid vegetarian and meat eating family. So the first recipe I have is a pasta bake. And the second one is a squash appetizer, which could be used as an appetizer or a side dish, or even so good, it's almost like a dessert. It's really tasty. But this first one I'm going to talk about is a hybrid spinach and beef ricotta pasta bake. And the reason I created this is because it's one of those that I wanted to make work for both diets. And the way I do this is I just split up the dish. And you have to just be very mindful when you add the meat, pay attention where you add it. And I often will add it a little bit away from where I think that I would be cutting my portion. Now, I'm the only one who eats meatless, although my boys sometimes will eat things without meat. So if I have a little bit extra where there is a meatless portion, that's totally fine. And my husband will too. So in order to keep the meat out of my section, I will do the meat a little bit less and further away, giving myself a larger portion than I think I would eat, because it won't matter if they have a little bit of a meatless part. They don't mind that. So being very mindful is the best way to cook this way. It can be a challenge when you have people of different diets within a family, right? And this is one that you can actually do it easily. And so I'm going to give you the ingredients for this pasta bake. It's really good, and it's actually quite easy. I love the pasta bakes, especially the ones like, you know, lasagna, the filled shells, or manicotti. But it's a little bit of an effort to fill those shells, right? This one is easy because you end up just stirring it up and plopping it in a pan and then adding the meat where you want the meat portions to be. So it's a little bit easier and quicker, and it still has that pasta bake flavor, which I just love. So this one, you're going to be using spinach and ricotta cheese, Parmesan cheese and garlic, Italian mixed herbs. So here is the ingredient list, which I will put down in the podcast show notes in an abbreviated description of how to make this. And then you can refer back to it easily. So you're going to need about 16 ounces of pasta. And I like to use the rigatoni or the penne or the ziti. You can use any kind, really, but those are the ones that I tend to like to use for this. And so you're going to obviously cook that and drain it. You need 2.5 cups of shredded mozzarella cheese. 2 cups of it are going to go in the ricotta mixture. And then the other half is going to be for topping once it's all together before you pop it in the oven. 1 pound of ricotta cheese, 1/2 cup of grated Parmesan cheese, 2 garlic cloves, and 1 package of 12-ounce frozen chopped spinach, which was thawed, and you have to draw the excess moisture out, which I'll talk about in a little bit. I use paper towels. And 3/4 teaspoon salt, 3/4 teaspoon pepper. Now you're going to make a short, quick recipe for homemade pasta sauce for this too. You could use spaghetti sauce or marinara, I suppose, if you want to shorten it up. But this is a pretty easy and good sauce recipe. I've even used this for like dipping, you know, Italian Dunkers in or something, or mozzarella sticks, you take 1 tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil, 2 cloves garlic minced, and a 28-ounce can of crushed tomatoes. Well, that's a big cans of those. And 1 teaspoon each onion and garlic powder, 2 teaspoons dried Italian mixed herbs, 1 teaspoon sugar, 1 teaspoon salt, and black pepper to taste. You're going to need 1 pound of browned ground beef, and you're going to add that to about 1/2 or 3/4, depending on how much you want. So those are the ingredients. And one thing I want to mention is those crushed tomatoes, the can of that, those big cans, that's something I like to keep in my pantry if ever I'm going to need it. And just making a batch of sauce like this too, if you don't have any spaghetti sauce or marinara, it works really well to just do this recipe and all of a sudden you have a great sauce. And it's also great for, as I said, dipping cheese in somehow. There's like a fried cheese or cheese curds or mozzarella sticks or garlic bread with cheese on it. It's a good sauce. And so it's, for me, it's kind of a staple to have some of those extra sitting in the pantry. So obviously you're going to, like I said, cook the pasta and drain it and then set that aside. And when you're going to make the pasta sauce, it's pretty straightforward. You basically are going to just mix it all together and cook it. And I cook it for a little bit just to get all of it to blend together. So I do heat it up before I'm going to use it and cook it a little bit. And I do keep a little bit of the pasta cooking water to add if you need to thin it out a little bit. Or you can just use water if you forgot to reserve some of that. Big deal, right? The ricotta mixture, you're going to mix that. Mix all of the cheese ingredients together. And again, those ingredients are the ricotta cheese, 1 pound, 1/2 cup Parmesan cheese grated, 2 cloves of garlic, and that spinach, and 2 cups of mozzarella cheese, 3/4 teaspoon salt and pepper. So in doing these, the spinach, I use a lots of paper towel. And so you're going to want it thawed, and it's just full of moisture. There's like almost too much moisture. And so get as much out of it as you can. And what I do is I just keep squeezing it, rolling it in paper towels. And I go through several paper towels when I'm doing this to get most of the moisture out. So then you're going to stir all of that together. And this is where you can add a splash of the pasta cooking water if you want to make it more creamy, or a little bit of water. I often do add a little bit just to make it not be dry. You just want it to be creamier. Then you add the pasta, the cooked pasta, to the ricotta cheese mixture, and you stir it and you just mix it all up. It's so easy, right? There's no filling of pasta. It's just stir, 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 stir. And then you put it into a heat-proof baking dish. And you're going to be baking this at 350 degrees. And this is where I would add in your ground beef, whether you want to do half the pan or 3/4. But again, stay enough far away to prevent meat drift. I call it meat drift. Yes, it's a term. I call it meat drift when the meat sometimes will float over to the vegetarian side. But if it's not runny, it generally is not going to happen. Some people are up in arms when I say this kind of thing. Like, it's in there, it could touch. It really doesn't. Unless you have a really runny dish or something, if you put it over there, it's going to stay. I mean, the pasta will keep it there. It's just not going to move. And if you keep it far enough away from your portion, you are in danger of getting little chunks in your portion that you'd want the vegetarian portion to be. So just be smart where you place it. And if you think you're going to need a half, maybe go a little bit less than half. If you're going to need 3/4 meat, maybe go a little bit less so that you can have that vegetarian portion reserved free of meat. Then you're going to top with the pasta sauce, the red sauce that you made. And then you top it with the rest of the mozzarella cheese, which is about 1/2 cup mozzarella cheese. Just sprinkle that. And then you cover it with foil. And I generally do spray my foil with olive oil, cooking spray, just so that it doesn't stick and pull that all that yummy cheese off when you're taking it off. And you're going to bake it for about 25 minutes. And then remove the cover and bake it for about another 10 minutes or until the cheese is melted and the sauce is bubbly. To me, that's always the cue when it's done, is that sauce is starting to bubble up on the sides and pop, and you can see it popping. You know that it's hot enough. So basically, it's ready to serve. I mean, how easy is that? That's just so nice. You just mix it all up, plop it in a pan. And the other thing I love about this recipe is there really isn't a whole lot of like chopping or shredding of cheese. If you buy shredded cheese, you're set. There isn't a lot of that putsy stuff. This is a nice pasta dish that is quick and easy to do, and my whole family loves it. My youngest is afraid of green things sometimes, but he was not happy when he found out there was a lot of spinach in this dish. And I said, just taste it. You're really not even going to notice the spinach. It just kind of blends in. And he did, and he liked it. So it's true, green is in there, but you really don't taste the spinach. It just kind of blends in into a yummy flavor. So that's it. That's all you do. And it works great as a leftover as well. It's a really good one to heat up and have as a leftover. It's really easy. And if you need a little more sauce, sometimes I've had a little bit of leftover sauce or from a different thing. If you need a little more sauce, then you can just add it on top. If it gets a little dry, as it's been sitting in the fridge as a leftover and you don't want it to be dry as you eat it, add a little more sauce. That's just the way to fix it. Instacart, groceries delivered in as little as 1 hour. Free delivery on your first order, $35. Save yourself that trip to the market. Instacart delivers groceries in as fast as 1 hour. They connect you with personal shoppers in your area to shop and deliver groceries from your favorite stores. Free delivery on your very first order over $35. Following the link in the show notes lets Instacart know we sent you and help support our show. Multiple stores available. Shop all of your favorites on a single order. The products you love from your local stores. Hand selected by shoppers based on your preferences. Delivery to your door in as fast as 1 hour. Instacart highlights deals to help you save money. Don't we all want that? Find everything you usually buy and get smart suggestions for new items. Instacart picks the freshest produce and keeps your eggs safe too. Woohoo! Those are things I want. Try it out today. You will love it. And I have also made this as a purely vegetarian dish without the meat and done meatballs on the side. That's another way to do it. And then when I do that, I often make the extra red sauce so that they can pour the sauce over the meatballs on the side of the pasta bake. So it's another way that I've done this recipe. So this recipe was originally on recipetineats.com, and I totally modified her recipe, but I don't know if it's him or her, but I wanted to give that credit because I took their recipe and modified it into my hybrid form, and I did change ingredients as well. But that's where it originally came from, and I often will do that. I'll take a recipe and modify it to fit my family or modify it in a way that I like it and see if that works. So, and I know that's a thing, and I know you cannot copyright a recipe. It's not possible. You can't copyright the whole people that do that kind of stuff. You cannot actually copyright that. And it makes sense because, you know, there's so many recipes out there and there'd be no way to do it. There'd be no way to keep track of it. And it's silly. You can copyright a book, but you can't copyright a recipe. Which is really interesting. I didn't know that until I started my blogging journey. Okay, this next recipe, again, is from the One Dish, Two Diets cookbook, which I have in paperback, ebook, hardcover, and audiobook. So, and when you do the audiobook, I believe it gives you a free ebook as well. So if you like to listen, that's an option too. So I am going to read this recipe right from the book. And it's really super yummy. And I'm doing it now because I'm thinking about fall. I've got fall foods on the brain. I don't know about you, but I certainly do because it's fall. And this is a squash recipe, which is always great in the fall. Okay, so this is called Pecan Squash Rolls Appetizer. And I created this because, I don't know, it was just one of those days I had a lot of squash left over. And I'm like, I think this might be really good. I want to try it. And then it turned out fantastic. And that's always fun. It tastes more like a dessert, really, than a vegetable. You know, it's like, especially when you're adding that brown sugar, which makes it taste amazing. This makes a large volume. You could chop it down if you want, but if you were to make this full recipe, it makes 80 little rolls. And they're kind of like bite-sized rolls, so they're really perfect for a party or appetizer or even like Thanksgiving or Christmas. They're a great thing for a party, great recipe for a party. but they're also really good for every day too. And they are good leftover. They just aren't as crispy leftover. So like initially when you first eat them, they're crispy. But if you put them in the fridge and eat them as leftover, they become soft. But they're still very good. The flavor is delicious. It's just the texture that changes. It'd be great for a side for a meat dish as well. If you have a chicken or pork entree, there'd be a great little side dish. So cooking time, it takes a while because you do a couple of pans of them. So about an hour and 25 minutes. And as I said, it makes about 80 rolls. So here's the ingredients. It's pretty a low amount of ingredients. You need one butternut squash, making about 2.5 cups of cooked squash, 1/4 cup water, 10 burrito-sized tortillas, and 1 cup of butter, 1/4 cup skim milk, 6 ounces of chopped pecans, and 10 tablespoons of brown sugar. Instructions. You're going to pre-cook that squash. You could do this ahead of time if you want. The day before works, or even a few days before. Preheat your oven to 400 and cut that butternut squash in half. Scoop out the seeds. Place each half cut side down in a baking dish that has sides. And I usually add about 1/4 cup of water, just some water to it. And you bake it at 400 degrees for 50 minutes to an hour until it is soft to a fork pierce. Then you're going to scoop out that cooked squash and place it in a mixing bowl. Add 1 cup of melted butter and 1/4 cup skim milk. Blend with a hand mixer for about 1.5 to 2 minutes until it's like totally smooth. If you don't already have your chopped pecans, I actually like to make them even smaller than the chopped. Kind of like more like they're even smaller. I put them in a sealable bag and crush them to even smaller pieces with a kitchen mallet. And that Ziploc works just great for that. Just pop them in there, seal it, pound away, baby. Pound those nuts. That's kind of funny, isn't it? Spray a cookie sheet with cooking spray and lay a tortilla on the pan. You're going to take about 1/3 cup of that squash mixture and spread it across the whole tortilla. That whole circle, baby, fill every spot. And then you're going to sprinkle it with 2 tablespoons of crushed pecans and 1 tablespoon brown sugar. You're going to roll that tortilla tightly as you can and place the rolls open side down to ensure the rolls stay closed during baking. That's my trick, because if you don't, sometimes that top starts to pop up and then it won't stay down as a roll, won't stay the way you want it to be, all in a continuous roll. And so you're going to do about 5 rolls per cookie sheet. So 5 of those tortillas, repeat that. So you're going to end up with 5 rolls on the cookie sheet. And then I bake each pan of 5 rolls separately for the best results. So while the other one's cooking, I'm making the next 5 rolls for the pan. So I build the first pan rolls and then pop it in the oven and let that cook. And then I start doing the same thing all over again, building more of those rolls. So repeat what I just said. You bake the rolls for 22 to 25 minutes about at 400 degrees until the tortillas are browned and crispy. Remove from the oven and let cool for about 10 minutes. And then you're going to slice it into 1-inch rolls and serve just like that. Just very easy. It tastes the best. If you like crispy, it tastes best when it's first cooked. So it's better as a fresh appetizer. But again, it's really good leftover too. It just loses that crispiness and it becomes more of a soft tortilla roll if you leave it as a leftover in the fridge. But it's still good. And I like to heat them up in the microwave for a tasty snack or addition to any meal. They work really good as a side dish. And it's kind of unique because it's got that squash, but it's also got butter and brown sugar and the nuts, which just really emulates how often I will serve squash. I will take that half a squash or a quarter and I'll put butter on it and brown sugar and pecans. So you're kind of doing the same thing, only you're putting it in a roll of a tortilla and you're just getting all of that same flavor in a different way, but then also adding in the tortilla. So it's really good. I think it's really quite delicious. And it's a nice looking appetizer too, because it's got that nice orange color and you can see a little bit of pecans. It's a really good fall feeling appetizer. And that's why I'm doing it right now, because right now it's fall. I don't know when you're listening to this, but in Minnesota, it's fall. We're getting the colored leaves. The leaves are really starting to change and they're starting to get ready to drop soon. So we're getting all that beautiful color which is a good part of fall that I enjoy before it gets too cold. And it's a nice time of fall here because it hasn't been cold. It still feels a little bit summer-like, which is so nice. I love fall, but I really lament the loss of summer because I really, 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 really like summertime. So it's good and bad. I mean, I get excited about the holidays coming in the fall and all of that, but the winters are just too stinking long here. I don't know where you live, but the nice thing is at least it changes and it doesn't stay forever. But winter just gets too long. I like the changes of the seasons. And my youngest just absolutely loves winter because he loves all the snow and skiing. And I don't like it so much. It's pretty, but I wish it was only like a month long, not this dragging out of many, many months. So it's been a great summer, and I hope you've been enjoying your summer and are enjoying fall. What other dishes do you do in the fall? I tend to make chili and Chex Mix and pumpkin pie, all those kind of fun things, squash, corn. We like to do a lot of the corn as it's still around. It's starting to slim down. There won't be as much fresh corn, but it's so great to have the local farms that are doing all those farm stands for vegetable and fruit and tomatoes. We have a little farm right by our house, and it's just fantastic. They have a lot of organic fruits and vegetables, and they have the eggs where they're free-range eggs, so the chickens are free-range and they're treated well and humane. All that stuff I really just love, and I love to support such small little businesses like that that are really just, to me, getting it right. They're doing it right. So it's so fun to visit all those local farmers markets, and, you know, and how fun is that to buy it directly from someone who grew it, right? Like, they're selling what they grow, and it you know, it's just a really fun way, and it's just so personal. You go right up to them and see them, and you see the people actually who are collecting those vegetables and preparing them to sell to you. So it's just so much more direct and more fun. I hope wherever you live, you have access to such things as well, because it's super important. You know, and I've heard things people say that it's really good for some reason. There's something about eating fruits and vegetables that are grown near where you live. And I don't know, that's some sort of sciencey reason behind it. You know, I do have a background in science, but I just thought that was really interesting when I read an article on that that talked about that. That's how it's somehow it's like really good for you to eat local fruits and vegetables and fresh ones. I believe it. I do. It's just, it's more natural and it's in your area. And I wish I could remember more of the article, but it's a really interesting idea that actually makes a difference for people. It's quite fascinating. I also want to do a quick mention out to Instacart. They have a great system where you can order things and just get it delivered to your house. You know, like, how great is that? In this day and age, deliveries are so common now with having gone through the COVID isolation period. They're just great. I just love it. I use deliveries quite a bit, and it's just so nice to like get it brought to your house. You know, you're not wasting all that time of driving, of actually shopping in the store. So check out Instacart and all their amazing deals. I have great deals. And I also would like to mention my website is juliehoagwriter.com. My cookbooks are One Dish, Two Diets. And I also have a quiche cookbook out there. It's a really slim book, but it's super fun and it's super yummy to have all these different quiche recipes. American Midwest Cooking Quiches. Split table recipes for vegetarians and meat lovers. It has a whole bunch of quiche recipes in it. And it's a slim little book, but it has a lot of yummy stuff in there. And I have some of my hybrid recipes in there as well. I also have a book out there. This is another slim little book, 40 Ways to Honor Your Mom After She Has Passed Away. And I wrote that from experience. So if that applies to you or you want to buy it to give to someone, it has some great ideas of how to celebrate the memory of your mom in positive and great ways that will enhance the memories. It's so hard to lose your mom, but there are ways that you can honor and just really celebrate the memory of your mom. So get that book. It's in Kindle and in paperback. It's a great reference book too, if you want to keep it like, what should I do this year for Mother's Day or on my mom's birthday or Christmas to really remember my mom. And it has ideas in there that I've done to help me self-help guide to help with healing tools to help when you're grieving a loss of your mom. So that I wrote from experience, and it grew from a blog post that I wrote on my website. It was always been such a popular blog post, and it is still every year. And so I created this little book for that. The other book I have out there is Hungry Hearts, which is a YA romance, a young adult romance, a young woman who has anorexia, and she's falling in love, sort of, kind of a fight, with a boy who's a chef. So then I explore all of that kind of stuff in there too, but she's also enamored by the high school heartthrob of the football team. So there's a little love triangle going on there. So check that out. I published that with Swoon Romance. So check it out. It's also out in audiobook and paperback and ebook. So check that out. Thank you so much for listening to this, and I hope you have an amazing day. It's a great day to be cooking in the kitchen, making yummy stuff. So I hope you enjoy it. Hope you have a great day. Happy fall. Come back again. Follow my podcast if you enjoy it, and subscribe. Leave me a review, a comment. I would love to hear your thoughts. It really helps me grow when you do that and also share my podcast episodes. Thank you so much for listening. Have an amazing day. Bye-bye.